hadn't had a testimony Sunday for a good while. And so I'm very thankful today that we have these two men, brothers of ours in Christ, who have said, yes, I want to tell my testimony. Testimonies are good for us to be reminded of the grace of God. Where sin runs deep, we just sang, the grace runs more. Hallelujah. And so it's good for us to see testimonies and testimonies of transformation, and these men that are going to come today are going to do that. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite first Sean. He will introduce himself, and then Casey and his family to the stage to share with you their stories. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you for your grace. We've just sung about it. Your mercy, your love, forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit who is amongst us today. Continue to guide us, Father, and these brothers as they give a word of testimony to the grace of God in their lives. Thank you for Sean. Thank you for his story. Thank you for Casey and Kim, their family, and their story. God, we give you praise and we give you glory for reaching down into the difficulties of life, the smudge and the drudge and the sin, and reaching down into that and plucking us out and washing us off in the shed blood of Jesus. We give you praise and glory for that again today, Father. Now, as we gathered here this morning to worship you on the coldness of this day, we do pray for all of those that couldn't come, those that are in care centers and sick and hospitals and perhaps the jail. We pray for them today and ask that by your mercy, you would touch them also. And now as we listen to these, your sons, our brothers, bless them and use them for your glory. I pray in the name of Jesus, amen. Brother Sean, come and tell us your story. Let's give a warm welcome to Sean Lighty.
Thank you. This is my testimony letter to the church. I'll start off by saying hi. Some of you I talked to a little from time to time, and others of you not so much. My name is Sean Lighty. I had grown up right around the heart of Minnesota. Ever since I was a young kid, I had been put in adapted classes in school. I always had a whole lot better of understanding in small groups of people. When I was growing up, the cops were at my parents' door constantly, most of the time weekly, if not daily. My mom and dad used to drink, which led to my whole family drinking and doing drugs. I was the youngest of all of them, and that had led me to being abused in every which way that you could possibly think about. There was a very good Christian family that had lived next door to us. They would let me go over to their house pretty much any time that I had wanted to, I suppose because they had saw all the trouble that I had been going through with my family. At a very young age, they had moved away, and right around that time, I was visited by the Holy Ghost of the angel of Jesus Spirit. I believe those Christians had said this prayer for me out of the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24, 25, and 26, saying, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." I never knew what to make of the Lord's Spirit. I very much so do now. As all the bad things kept escalating throughout childhood, one of my sisters was murdered when I was the age of 11 to 12 years old. My sister's death was very hard to deal with. The way she was murdered, she had been beaten up to the point of being lifeless and then had been drowned in a bathtub afterwards. I have missed my sister ever since, because I remember that she had helped take care of me when I was just a very young child. After this had happened with my sister, both of my parents were sober right around this time and had decided to move out of the Twin Cities area into the Cushing area, where I had started going to school and working at various different types of jobs to only support the alcohol and drug problems that I had felt the need for after all I had been through. Just as a young teenager, I had become a severe alcoholic. I hadn't even reached my middle teens. I used to go to numerous parties all over the state, with many of them starting in the vehicles I had been in. I can remember drinking in a bar late at night off the beaten path of Minneapolis, where things got quite out of hand, and people found out that a friend of mine at the time had quite a bit of money on him. Not long after this was going on, I had left the bar and started walking to my vehicle that was about a city block away. When I had just about gotten to my vehicle, I had turned back to look. These people had my friend in the middle of the street telling him that they wanted everything that he had, and they looked as if they were going to hurt him or quite possibly even kill him. I started walking very fast towards all of them and was shouting, telling them to get away from him and to let him alone as I was on my way towards them. They all had gotten very nervous, and they all had fled the scene where this had taken place, and both of us were able to make it out of there. This is just one of many ways on how the Lord had worked throughout my life. I had some friends that had tried getting me in much trouble. Thankfully, the Lord never let these people get by with much. Some of these people like to try to get people locked up just because they had nothing better to do. I had a very difficult time in relationships with women. I could never seem to find a woman that I could trust. That had led me into pornography. In my early 20s, the friends that I had gotten to know had thought that it would be a good idea to be on Social Security. They had helped talk me into going on disability. I had gotten a couple DWIs and had went through a bankruptcy, mostly because of the fact of the drinking problem that I had. I was by no doubt struggling at this point. I could go on about the many hellacious fires that I had been through. All of my life, I felt that there had been something else that was very different about me. From time to time, I had thought about the light of the Lord when I was visited by him. The Lord had made it possible for me to quit many different kinds of addictions throughout my lifespan. On March 26th, 2018, my parents and I had been in a very serious car accident. It was very icy and snowing quite heavily that day. We had slid sideways into oncoming traffic and had been T-boned by a pickup truck right in the middle of the highway. I can remember waking after the collision with the emergency department at the scene. They were giving me the most powerful pain shots available. The shots really didn't seem to do anything for the pain that I had been going through. I was looking around for my dad. I thought that he had been thrown from the vehicle. The medics at the scene had said that he is all right. That was very hard to believe, knowing that the car had been completely mangled up. For as much as I was all busted up from all the fractures that I had endured, I can remember turning my attention to my mom and wanting to care for her, knowing that she was lifeless. At this point, the highway department had showed up, and they had started cutting the car all into pieces with the jaws of life so that they could pull us from the wreckage. There were three people in the truck. Two of them were okay, and the other one they had brought to the ER and had released him not long after being there. The accident had left my mother pretty much dead instantly. My dad and I were hospitalized for right around a week or a little better. My dad's body was so bruised up that he looked like solid black, and my body was also. I suffered multiple broken bones throughout my body from head to foot, with the worst one of them being a broken pelvis on the back side and with it being separated on the front side. All the muscles in that area had been torn, and they are not completely healed up yet. It's been taking lots of therapy and chiropractic care to get my body back where it needs to be. I take the death of my mom tragic at times, because she had died in the same accident as I had been in. We were relatively rather close to one another. The Lord had used her to help me with many things throughout my life. I had suffered from multiple back injuries before the car accident had occurred due to the fact of cutting wood and various different types of other incidences that had taken place throughout my life. Not that long after the accident, I had talked with my parents' neighbor that is a Christian. He had asked me if I would like to be a believer in Jesus. I think that I told him that I believe in God because I always have. He had showed me the way to ask Jesus into my life, and I had become a Christian. I had started coming to the Motley Free Methodist Church around the middle of 2018, not long after the car accident, and started going to all different types of Bible studies starting in 2019 to the present date. Last year, my oldest brother had passed away due to the fact of many illnesses and behavior problems. In the last time that I was able to see him was on a video call that had taken place in the hospital where the doctors had to pull him off of life support. It was difficult to see him laying there the way that he was. I will go on living as a dedicated true Christ follower. I couldn't be any more thankful for the love of Jesus, or for that matter, the love of the Christian man that had shown me the way to Jesus Christ. I know Jesus' Spirit held on to me all my life. Otherwise, I wouldn't be before you all today. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. It's not easy to bear your soul, but when Jesus sets you free, you've got a story to tell. Amen? Thank you, Sean. Casey, bring that beautiful family of yours up here. Make welcome Casey and Kim and their family.
That's better. We're all mixed up last night. I was trying to get ages right. Good morning, church. Thank you for having us and this opportunity to share our story with you. I'm Casey Reynolds. This is my family. I'd like to introduce them. This is my beautiful wife, Kim. My youngest boy, Mino, at 6, followed by Regison. He's 7. And then my beautiful daughter, Mista Love, 8. And we got Linnell. He is 11. Followed by DJ, who is 14, Boyd, 15, and Cy, 17. So I asked them to come up here just for an introduction, then I'm going to release them and while I give our story. So, I didn't do so well with the photos last time. I'll see if I can get them a little better this time. So I'll give you a little history on my wife and I. We grew up in the Brainerd Lakes area here. We attended Brainerd High School. We were married at 19 and 20. We just celebrated our 19th wedding anniversary here a few weeks ago. Our plan was to have 2 children right away. Have them out of the house by 40. and retire early and kind of go on living our lives that we wanted to live, kind of partying. That was the atmosphere we lived in at the time, hanging out with friends and camping, partying, drinking. That was kind of what we did. I have to kind of go back a little bit, similar to Sean, and kind of give you some of the falling outs in our lives to make the whole picture come clear. It's not nothing I'm proud of, the way we lived our lives for a while, but it does give us a chance to give complete glory to God on how we worked through all this, and that's why I enjoy doing this. So that was our family. This is my father. My dad was a good man, hardworking man. I had one younger brother, one older brother, and my dad was supported us well, and my mom, and just a hardworking good man. Alcoholic, unfortunately, but was still there for us and did the best he could. He ended up being diagnosed with cancer in 2012, and we've kind of fought through that through 2013, early part of 13, and we ended up losing him April of 2013. 32 years old at this point, grown man, wife, kids, family, job, kind of doing the thing the world says we should supposed to be doing, and this hit us pretty hard. Unfortunately, at that same time, my dad was fighting cancer. My older brother was also diagnosed with cancer. That's my older brother at a pretty young age. So we were, that was a completely different circumstance. My older brother, a man of God, wife and three kids, good job, never a drinker, never a smoker. Wasn't all that close with him. We were when we were younger, but as we grew older, I picked a completely different path than he did. So we ended up losing him to cancer also in fall of 2013. So I lost my brother and my father in the same year. Didn't know how to handle this, didn't really understand it, really, really hit me hard. Wouldn't really admit it at the time. Winter of 2013, 2014, I worked road construction, so I was laid off. And to ease the pain and the struggle of all this, of course, turned to more drinking. I was an alcoholic. I wouldn't admit that at the time, but it was definitely true. It took a toll on my marriage, took a toll on my family. Did not know the Lord, and never read the Bible, nothing like that. I grew up in the Catholic Church, just never got a hold of the gospel, just never understood it. So, the testimony today would be just how God would work. Super Bowl Sunday, 2014 was the last day I've ever drank. I've been sober since then for the last 7 years. So to have us up here sharing this today is just how he would have it. Super Bowl Sunday, 2014, biggest fall of my life. We had a big party that night, a lot of drinking, hanging out with friends. It got a little out of control. Really hurt my wife that night, really hurt my family and my friends. Left that party with a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. Didn't really know how to handle that. So through the loss of my brother and my father, we ended up attending a couple funerals, and I got to know the pastor that did them two funerals. His name is Pastor Ron Kaiser. I ended up turning to him, not knowing who else to turn to. Just wanted help with my marriage, wanted help with my drinking, get my family back in order, and he was willing and able to help me with that. Unfortunately, Ron was way more concerned about my salvation. And you guys all know a guy like that. And so he was a straight shooter. I kind of was a straight shooter myself. He told me he could get me into counseling. He could fix my marriage more than likely. He could get my drinking under control more than likely. Teen Challenge, other counseling. He had ideas. At the end of my life, I'd probably still end up in hell. And that's what he told me. And that hit me hard. It was in a meeting in Perkins. I'll never forget it. So I come home and explain to my wife kind of what I was doing. Pastor Ron spent a lot of time with us over the next few weeks explaining why we needed the Lord, the gospel story, and the whole point of it. and he was a good man of God. And my wife and I started attending church in March of 2014, and we gave our lives to the Lord. And it's been exciting ever since. So this is kind of the fun part now. So fall of 2014, we took our first trip to Haiti. We went to an orphanage there. They had about 90-plus kids there at this orphanage. Very difficult place, very rough. As you can see, that's kind of the entry to, I think that was like the kitchen area. And that's me in the same place. We're talking, some of the buildings were dirt floor, some of them had wood floor. Very tough place. We ended up going to a burial site of a child that had died of malnutrition a few weeks before we had gotten there. That was very tough. While we were there, we were doing a Bible study. It was kind of a missions trip, kind of not. It was just a bunch of group of people that got together, went to Haiti. We got invited to go along against our better judgment. We didn't want to go, but we went. And while we were there, we were studying James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20, and I'll just read it here for you. What good is it, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes, food, and if one of you say to them, go in peace, keep warm, well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So we're reading this and studying this in Haiti in an orphanage, and I knew I had faith in Christ. I believed it, and I knew there's no salvation through works, but the works weren't evident in my life either. So it kind of really changed my wife and I's perspective. We knew the way we lived at home. I got to say, these folks, they were poor in every sense of the word, but their joy was overwhelming. And it was evidence to us that we didn't have the type of joy they had. And so it really changed Kim and I's perspective. So spring of 2015, we were called to adoption. We started our international adoption process. It's about a 2 to 4 year process. It's a very expensive process, which led us to this sort of stuff. We had a 160-acre farm up north of Pillager, and it was kind of our idol. What I worked for, what I lived for was that farm, the privacy. We had a new house that was built on it. Lots of toys. Every four-wheelers, dirt bikes, four-wheelers, trucks, cars, all kind, everything the world would say you should have. We ended up having an auction, selling off all of our stuff to support the price of the adoption. And then we felt we were called to sell our farm. Wasn't willing. Didn't want to. So we prayed about it. We talked about it. And we ended up having a realtor call us and ask us if the farm was up for sale before we had listed it or anything. So that was kind of the step we needed. We listed the farm for sale. It sold in 2 days. Of just how the Lord works. Made it real evident that it was time to move on. So we sold the farm. We were without a home. And some friend of ours knew of a vacant house in Brainerd. So we got talking with them, and we were able to buy a 2-bedroom, 1.5-bath house in Brainerd with an unfinished basement. So that was the platform we needed to start our new house for our larger family, whatever that looked like. We got the house all done in 2016, finished remodeling. We got a phone call. We ended up turning the house into 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, and we figured that would be great for when the kids come home from Haiti. The Lord had bigger and better plans. The phone rings. Some relatives of ours knew of a couple boys that were in the foster care system that needed a home. And we had a home. And we knew it would be a few years before our kids from Haiti would come home. So we decided to welcome them into our house. We got our foster care paperwork done, and we welcomed DJ and Linnell into our house. Foster care at this point. That was our, just to give them a place, tell them about the Lord. Just be a good witness to them. That was in November of 16. They were in our house for maybe a month, and we announced to them that we'd be adopting them. February 2017, we started the adoption process for DJ and Linnell. And in May of 2017, we welcomed DJ and Linnell into our family. We're still in the middle of our Haitian adoption process. We knew we could get anywhere from 1 to 3 kids from Haiti. You don't know what the process is you put out a bunch of paperwork. Kim worked very hard on getting all the stuff together, and they refer you kids. You don't meet the kids until they send you who your kids are. They ended up, we adopted them on the 4th of May for DJ and Linnell, and we got a referral letter for Reguson, Miss Love, and Mino on the 15th of May. So that's the photo we received from Haiti a few weeks later. That was all. We got some little bit of detail on them, who they were, and a photo, and we booked our trip to Haiti for our new family. Problem is, you need passports to go to Haiti. It would have been just terrible for our family if we would have had to let DJ and Linnell behind. November through May was very tough on our family, bringing the kids in and transitioning to that. We learned a lot, and I can say today we got a lot more to learn with this whole process. But if we would have had to leave them behind, it would have been terrible. So we booked the trip. We filed for passports, and 4 days before we left, the passport showed up. So we just stepped out in faith, and he came through again. It was wonderful. So that led all of us heading to Haiti. You got to go for a referral trip, a socialization trip, which is 15 days living in Haiti. So we brought our whole family. We finally got to come together. They're very excited to fly. None of my kids have ever flown before. So we the morning of our trip to Haiti, kids got to experience the airport and flying. We took off and flew to Haiti. We took 4 consecutive trips to Haiti after this trip. You don't get to bring your kids home on the first trip. You just get to go there and meet them, and then you have to say goodbye. And so we took 4 trips over the next year visiting our kids. Either Kim would go or I would go or Kim and I would go. One trip was Cy and myself went to go visit our kids, and then they ended up coming home in April of 2018. And that's our trip home. It was just Kim and I went on that trip, and then all the rest of the family met us at the Minneapolis airport when we flew in for a homecoming. My kids spoke no English, never seen cold weather. All the food we eat was completely foreign to them. Clean water is new to these kids. Flushing toilets is new to these kids. Kim could tell you a story about my kids at the bathroom at the restroom, or at the restroom at a gas station with the power towel machine. She's got a video of it. They spent, I don't know how much time they spent in that bathroom. They are fascinated by it. So this whole new thing to them. So we brought them home, started our new family life together, doing all the things. And we quickly outgrew our house. We were not envisioning a family of 9 when we moved to Brainerd. So we jumped out in faith again. 2018, we bought some property in Pillager to start our new house. I'm not a carpenter. I moved dirt for a living, so carpentry was new to me. I learned some stuff from our house in Brainerd, but I had a lot more to learn about building. It was a big step in faith for us to think that we could pull this off financially and all the moving upward and the kids again, just a lot of challenges involved. So July of 2019, we sold our house in Brainerd and started constructing our new house in Pillager. We kind of all came together as family and friends and did what we could. From 9 of us lived in a camper for 5 months as we built this. We built our garage. So from July of 2019, well, it was even before, because we moved into the camper before the house sold, and then through September, we all lived in our camper. No running water, no bathroom, had an outside shower. It was an experience. September of 2019, we finished our garage and we moved into that. So we did some more tiny house living from the next 9 months as we built our house. We started our house in September of 2019. And the family was right alongside there with us as we were going through this process. That's the camper we lived in for the summer. It was a nice camper, but I tell you, it was tough. So, towards the end, July of 2020, we were finishing up on our house. That's Kim and Miss Deleva as they're doing some staining, some final touches on the new house. And in July, we moved into our new house. We ended up with a 7-bedroom, 4-bath house for us to live in, which has been wonderful. So in kind of our, we also started attending the Motley Church in July of 2020, and kind of been our family slogan is just to see what the Lord will do next in our life. We always leave room and opportunity for Him to go out in faith and serve, and that's, I guess, what I would encourage you guys is don't let finances, don't let timing, don't let the things of this world, don't even let logic stop you from what God might do, because if you give Him free rein, man, just like Pastor Jim was saying a few weeks ago, go out there and serve the Lord, and you'll just be overwhelmed on what He'll do with you. Thank you.
And as we depart, let us pray. Loving Father, we come to You today with thanksgiving for the words that You have brought to us through Sean and Casey. We marvel at the fact that they are here. We think of Sean, that someone took care to address Jesus with him in an hour of need. We think of the words that Casey brought to us. One that comes to my mind is, how many times do we let logic get in the way of talking ourselves out of doing things that we know we should do? Help us, Father, not to count the cost, not to find reasons or logic, just to go. And not worry about all the other things. To watch in Your mystery how You bring people forward, how the funding will be there, how the paperwork, the visas, the funding, all the things just mysteriously come into place. No matter what happens in this world, Father, You make things happen the way they should. Help us to leave here trusting You greater than ever before, loving You more than ever before, serving more than ever, passionately looking for those who not only still need Jesus, but Father, help us to find those that are discouraged and are contemplating walking away from the faith, to rescue, as the hymn tells us, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Help us, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.